Welcome back in. The tournament officially underway. Might not feel like it, but it certainly is. Still getting used to that whole first four on Tuesday, Wednesday with the doubleheader kind of thing. So welcome to the Wednesday version of the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're a new listener or a recent listener, these Wednesday podcasts feature our national college basketball writers at CBSSports.com, Gary Parrish and Jeff Goodman. They are the best podcast we do because we have, as they say, a rapport here. So we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff with the bracket. We're going to talk about what happened on Tuesday night as well, because I think the NIT outshined the NCAA for the first time since the 60s, and plenty to get to there. We'll talk about where Goodman and Parrish are going to, where I'm at, and plenty of stuff bracket-wise, storyline-wise that we didn't get into with the Borzello podcast on Monday, Seth Davis on Tuesday. If you're listening to this one before those, you can go back to them. They'll all be good no matter when you listen. But let's bring them in. Fellas, how are we doing in Los Angeles, Gary, and Auburn Hills, Goodman?
I'm awesome in Los Angeles. Worried about tomorrow. I have got, just for some background, we pick all of our pods well in advance of the NCAA tournament. We just decide where we want to go. And I live in Memphis, and so I decided I'd go to Philadelphia based on nothing more than it was a direct flight at night. I figured I could do my radio show, head to the airport, fly straight to Philadelphia. It'd be simple. Well, then it became known that I was going to end up in Los Angeles, and I didn't want to make everybody else rearrange their schedules and cancel flights. So now, tomorrow, even though there's a pod in San
Francisco, you're such a good guy that you wouldn't do that.
I'm such a good guy. Right, I don't want to do that to anybody. Now, even though there's a pod in San Jose, I am literally flying all the way across the country tomorrow so that I can go to what I believe, if you don't mind me saying, is the worst of all the pods.
Oh, man. You're going to hate it when you're, like, standing in line at the security check being like, I am flying all the way out to freaking Philadelphia only to come back. Because you got to go back for TV and you're going to be in L.A. for the regionals as it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
whatever. Wait. He's in L.A. I'm in Auburn Hills, Michigan. There is nothing. It took me an hour almost to get from the airport to Auburn Hills. It sucks here.
Okay, guys, I get that all, but like, yeah, let's not.
Hey, our lives suck.
I know. I'm covering the NCAA tournament, man. People are hating both of you right now.
Listen, the only reason I chose Auburn Hills, so Parrish chose Philly because it's a quick flight. I chose Auburn Hills for the kind of the same reason. I thought incorrectly that my daughter's first play was Sunday. And I thought I had to get back, so I had to get to a place that had a Thursday-Saturday game that I could get a direct flight back home in time to catch her play, which starts at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock on Sunday. But I screwed up. Her play was last Sunday. So I could have been in Austin, Texas right now. Instead, I'm here in Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Listen, and this is, people think that we like wait around and look at the brackets and then like figure out where we want to go. This is like proof that we actually schedule around other things. The other reason I picked Philadelphia, not only the direct flight at night from Memphis to Philly, it was because it's a Friday Sunday pod and it was one less radio show I would have to miss because I wouldn't have to be in the arena on a Wednesday. As you know, which would be the case if it's a Thursday-Saturday pod. So I picked Philadelphia because it's Friday-Sunday and because it had a direct flight, and now it's the worst pod, and it's like 70,000 miles from where I'm at right now.
And I know you never like to turn up a chance for you to talk as much as possible, so good thinking there with getting the radio stuff, absolutely. But yeah, let's remind listeners how lucky our jobs are and not complain too much about it.
Whatever. Speak for yourself, Norlander.
I hate my job right now. I'm in Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Well, here's how it happens. I mean, no, right now, but and then watch Goodman or Parrish. You're gonna get the best freaking sight. Like you're gonna get the one with the triple Parrish, overtime game and a buzzer beater or something like that. Like you know,
I'll get Florida Gulf Coast beating Georgetown, and then I'll get Doug McDermott going for 45
against Duke and beating Duke or something. Yeah, exactly.
Parrish, I got one for you. Who's the Florida Gulf Coast head coach?
Come on, man.
I'm doing this to you. No, come on.
Andy Enfield.
Early in the year.
Andy Enfield.
Oh, yes. Nice.
I just wrote a story about him 2 days ago. You can't catch me.
That is awesome.
Wow. That's good. All right.
Yeah, I've been doing research, man. And I've been, how about this? And how about, I heard he's got a smoking hot wife.
He does. We have not put that on the blog yet.
How do you know that? Because I've been reading about him. I've been like studying.
Somebody wrote that he's got a smoking hot wife in his story.
She was on the cover of Maxim. It's currently on some blogs right now. Yes, very much so. Yeah, exactly.
No, I know. And like I'm looking at her right now. I know that's kind of creepy and all, but
not for you it isn't.
Look at you, Andy. My man. I'm proud of this guy.
Okay.
Hey.
You should do
Darryl,
why don't you do a blog about Andy Enfield's wife on tomorrow or the next day?
Are you like are you daring me? Because the most interesting
kind of am actually.
The most interesting thing about my pod, I think, might be this blonde. And so don't put it past me.
Do you want to make her my avatar tomorrow?
If he wins his first round game, I will. No, we're keeping your avatar what it is for a little while.
Okay.
No, you got to change it. It can't be stale. That's boring.
I can do whatever I want to do. If you want me to change it to Gary Parrish is a genius, I'll do that. Or Gary Parrish is whatever. But I'm a big believer in branding, and I think I'm going to brand.
I got a surprise for you, I think, tomorrow.
Huh.
Okay. Well, first of all, so the background on this, and we will get to
Let's talk about Amanda Enfield for a second.
we're gonna save that. That's called a teaser for if you wanna write about that. Normally, like you go to these pod sites, you go to the media days, maybe get an angle on a coach or a player that's somewhat original. I tell you, if you're able to pull off writing about another man's wife and you want to make that your file for the blog,
why don't you write about Steve Fisher's wife or something?
What if I do a ranking of college basketball coaches' wives?
Oh, I mean, 1 through 68? Is this what you want to be doing right now?
I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can go 1 through 68 because somebody's wife's going to be 68. And that's you can't put somebody's wife in the play-in game.
I know. And I'm sure you got a few divorced or still single ones out there as well. So
you do. And then you got to start counting mistresses as well, and that can get confusing. But Amanda Enfield is something. How about this? I bet you if I write a column about Amanda Enfield, it'll get more hits than anything anybody else could write in advance of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, probably. I mean, but you're not really breaking ground there. I mean, yes, attractive women will gather clicks. I think we've discovered and proven that.
I've like hit like 40 clicks in the past 2 minutes.
Okay.
I've studied her entire Google images.
This is all venturing into a very bizarre. That's what happens when you record the podcast late into the Tuesday evening. And real quick, you can follow these guys on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS and at Goodman CBS. And when you follow Jeff Goodman on Twitter,
how old is Andy Enfield and how old is Amanda Enfield?
We're not getting off this thing right now, are we? Are we just going to do 30 minutes on this?
How unbelievable is this?
Real? I know Andy Enfield. Like, great guy, but like, this is the ultimate coverage ever.
Oh yeah, I mean he's clearly got a 5-star recruit. His best recruit ever. No doubt about it.
For you guys listening to the podcast right now, like listen, hit pause and go Google Amanda Enfield. She is bad, bad, bad.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
I was gonna say check out Goodman's avatar. It's because he lost a bet to Parrish. Then Parrish pings me and he's like, listen, I need you to make an avatar that just says Gary Parrish is great. And I said, all right, fine. Because Parrish can pick Goodman's avatar for the rest of the tournament because Goodman thought Kentucky would win the SEC tournament. That didn't happen. And so instead of – I was really rooting for Kentucky, man, because that would have meant Goodman got to cut Parrish's hair at the Final Four. But instead, Parrish gets to control Goodman's avatar. And then Parrish unwittingly sells me out. He simply forwards the email with the JPEG attachment to Goodman. So then Goodman
I didn't know how to do it any other way. Like, trust me, I knew when I forwarded
you just
that.
Download the photo, and then you send it independently
so
to
weak.
Him.
So
I recognize that it sounds easy to you, Matt, but I didn't know what I didn't know what to do.
This is easy for a fourth grader. You download the JPEG, you send a separate attachment and say, hey, listen, one of my followers sent this to me. I want you to be this thing. So then I get off the plane in Salt Lake City and I see Goodman going after me saying, you're going to really pay for this. Just wait until Atlanta. And so there we go.
I'm going to get you.
You've created a schism, Parrish.
I didn't mean to do that. It was just unavoidable from my perspective. I apologize because I did reach out to you and you could have said, I don't want to put Goodman
in that position. Instead, you said, absolutely, I'll get on it.
And you put me in that position. You played one off the other, man. You put me in that position, and what am I going to see? Like, no,
you're
I can't
done,
do it for
you. Norlander. You're done. In Atlanta, watch your back.
I'm sorry I put you in that spot. Let me tell you, and this is being completely honest, I did go, is there a way to send this avatar to Goodman without him knowing that it came from Norlander? And then I was like, I'm really confused. I got real stressed out about it. I didn't know what to do, so I just hit forward. I apologize.
It's okay. Oh, man. Well, listen, Goodman, when you need a designated driver at 2 a.m. in Atlanta, you know, and I'm not around because you've done whatever you've done to me.
I got Borzello for that.
Yeah, okay.
We're good.
Okay, man. Well, let's see how that one plays out for you, okay? On that Saturday night or Sunday night.
How about this? Last time I was in Atlanta for the Final Four, what was it? How many? It was like 2006 or 2007.
Yeah, Florida, right?
6-1 in Florida. It was Florida's first one. And I ended up going to some party with
that's called a strip club. Let's not.
No, it really wasn't.
By the way, eventually we are going to get to the tournament, listeners. But go ahead. Keep going. I'm enjoying it. Go ahead.
I'm driving back. Somebody drives me back, a coach named Pershing Williams. And it's me and like four other brothers driving back in his car, and they're blasting.
Brother, wait, brothers.
Are you
wait,
racial slurs now?
No, I'm just saying, like.
Oh my God!
It couldn't have been more out of place for me. And Percy's laughing. His,
so it was me. So in Atlanta, it was me and these four black dudes.
It was just the story for me. Like, it was so out of place. I don't know how it even happened.
The most out of place ever, where you run into the dynamic of race, I think, in covering college basketball is when you cover the LeBron camp in Akron. Oh, no, what? No. What am I thinking of? What's the other? No, the Peach Jam in North Augusta. And there's that one all-black strip club that all the coaches go to. And if you go to it, you're the only white person in there, right? Not that I've ever been.
But, wait. We really need to get on some basketball soon. Or else, honestly, Gary is not going to have a job tomorrow.
That's where you look up and you go, because it's like an all, like it's not a white strip club. It's not a mixed race strip club. It's got a certain clientele. And so, like, Goodman told me about it one time, and I've always thought that story was funny.
Well, first of all, we're not topping Goodman saying, me and four brothers running in a
car. It was true. They were all like,
I'm just glad you didn't use the N-word.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to. Come on.
And well, we're not going to keep going on this, but the situation in Houston 2 years ago when we walked into that one joint, and we're like the only white dudes in the place. And Greg Paulus. It was like us and Greg Paulus.
Oh, that was the best. This is funny. We were at a – because what people don't understand about the Final Four, like, yes, there are basketball games, right? But beyond that, there's like parties, like big corporate parties. And so we end up at one party. I don't even know what it was. And then we get invited to the Black Coaches Association party.
That's what that was?
Yes. It was the Black Coaches Association party.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, like, okay, so we walk into the Black Coach, and we couldn't have been mocking, like trolling harder than what we were. So in the Black Coaches Association, it's not like it was like, it was me, Goodman, Norlander, and Borzello, right? So four.
No, there were more. There were like 8 or 10 of us.
I know, but.
I remember having to pay to get us in. I gave, there was like a coach there at the door. And I remember having to give – this is where you're saying Paulus went dancing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I had to pay to get us all in at the door, but I didn't know it was a Black Coaches Association party.
No, it's totally the Black Coaches Association party. But what is funnier than us taking Greg Paulus, the whitest basketball player in the history of college basketball, to the Black Coaches Association party?
And he was like – he was getting his grind on that dance floor. There's no doubt about it.
Like, no, I'll never forget. Paulus is like, so should I try to dance with her? We won't even say who the girl was.
Right.
She was a really cute girl. Really, really cute. Borzello was in love. And I said, he was like, do you think I ought to try to dance with her? And I said, I don't know, man. He was like, what do you mean you don't know? And I was like, I don't know if you can stay in front of her, man. I've seen you try to guard point guards. Are you confident you can stay in front of her? And then he gets all mad, right? But we totally had Greg Paulus right up in the middle
of the Black Coaches Association party. And it was like, and it's not
slow
like
dancing.
Slow dancing. And if you go to a party, like, you know, there's a band, there's a house band. They didn't have a house band. It was a house rapper. I mean, it was a house rapper. It was strong.
It was a really good time, though. That was a lot of fun, and maybe we can top it in Atlanta in a couple weeks. Okay, basketball. Big night in Kentucky. Naturally, Georgetown wins the NAIA championship over Southwest Assemblies of God. You guys want to break that one down? 88-62. Of course, the other one was Kentucky losing at Robert Morris. Just want to hit on this real quick. One, I just love the circumstances around the game. Cal grew up where they were playing in Moon Township. Parrish, you had an amazing tweet that's been like retweeted 1,000 times now. He goes, so Kentucky season started in a brand new NBA arena in New York City, and it ended in a 3,000-seat gym in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. That's wild. And it really is, because this is the biggest win for Robert Morris ever. Andy Toole is going to eventually get a really good job. And for the first time in my lifetime, the NIT actually outshined the NCAA tournament. I mean, I just thought it was such a weird – and the NCAAs were whatever tonight. We had a close game, and Middle Tennessee stunk it up against St. Mary's. But that's just Kentucky for you. But the scene at Robert Morris was really awesome, and I just wanted to give you guys, if you wanted to kind of put a bow on Kentucky's mess of a season, we can address that real quick.
I think the dynamic of where they started and where they ended up is obviously drastic, but
You put him there. You're responsible for this.
I know. I realize.
You really put him there. You wanted him. Tell everybody. You wanted him number one.
Yes.
We made a deal, did we not?
Listen. I will give credit where credit's due. I will try to take credit sometimes where it's not due. Here's the truth. I wanted Kentucky to be the preseason number one at CBSSports.com. Goodman resisted, not because he thought I was wrong, but because he hates John Calipari.
Because I thought they should have been number five. I remember I had Louisville, Indiana, Kansas, somebody else, and then Kentucky. That's what I wanted.
Yeah, okay, fine. So you had him fifth. Shut up, all right?
You had him first, you dumbass.
Oh, no, listen.
First.
Listen.
Winning the title.
No, I had him winning the whole thing, right? And this team never, for whatever reason, and we could do a whole podcast about that, just never came together. And the idea that they could start the season as the reigning national champs with all these future lottery picks in playing the first ever basketball game in that new Barclays Center in Brooklyn in an NBA arena and go from there to closing their season in a 3,000-seat gym in Moon Township, Pennsylvania, is like – it's wild.
It really is.
And you know, if you go, I mean, and it's also like symbolic,
yes,
and all of those things. I mean, it's perfect, you know, to try to summarize their, if somebody said, so in 140 characters, summarize the Kentucky season. That's it. That what I just said is it. And so if you're looking for a silver lining in all this, though, and let me be clear, I don't trust what any kid says immediately after his loss, last game of the season. But Archie Goodwin was pretty emphatic, you know, after that loss to Robert Morris. He's coming back. Willie Cauley-Stein said he's coming back. If you combine those two.
Oh, come on. Really? You're even going to mention that?
Meaning what?
Meaning why? Shane Larkin said last week he was coming back. Today he said he's not sure.
Right. No, watch. Miami's going to go to the Final Four, and Shane Larkin's going to be Mike Conley, which turns into...
Exactly.
That's a great point. But Goodman, forget about if they will or they won't. Should they come back, given what Calipari's bringing in next year and not knowing what the deal with Wiggins and Randall are yet?
Ryan Harrow should transfer again, like tomorrow. He's never going to play again. I mean, he's never going to play with the Harrison Twins. We've seen those guys. I don't know if Archie Goodwin's going to play again. I think Alex Poitras should stay. I think Willie Cauley-Stein should stay. The fan base doesn't even like Archie Goodwin, I don't think.
No.
I don't think they like Goodwin, and they've been cold on Poitras, too. They've been frustrated with the whole team,
Poitras will develop into a good player. He just doesn't have the killer instinct. He doesn't have – and I heard this from coaches throughout the recruiting process. He doesn't have the DNA to want to be a number one or maybe even a number two guy. But, you know, I think this speaks to – the bigger point, and I tweeted earlier, of recruiting and how it was and how it's going to be, because, you know, John Calipari can get anybody he wants for the most part. We know that. And he got these guys that really don't fit him. And I think part of the reason is he didn't get a chance to really know them and know what makes them tick and what type of personalities they are and if they're tough. And that's what he did in Memphis. He got tough kids, and I always worried about this when he got to Kentucky. At first, he got those tough kids. You know, he got DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall and you know, obviously Kid Gilchrist last year. And would he get away from that a little bit at Kentucky and start taking the prima donna type player like an Alex Poitras?
Because I love that we're worried about a guy who won a national championship
right.
months ago.
And it's like DeMarcus Cousins was a prima donna.
Situated what's mentally, I think, with a lot of these kids. Not physically, because I think Alex Poitras has the physical abilities. I think Archie Goodwin has them. What I'm saying is with these new recruiting rules, there's going to be less mistakes made. And I think you're going to see that with future classes where John Calipari is going to get guys to fit him better. This group did not fit him. It didn't.
Yeah, I know. And he's,
I'll tell you this. As somebody who covered John on a day-to-day basis before I came to CBS, he needs a certain type of player that responds to his...
That's what I mean.
MFing. And, right. And I watched it at Memphis over and over again. Like Earl Barron, who went on to play in the NBA, he could never respond to John. Like, whereas, like, when John got in Antonio Burke's face and said, "You MFer, you MF and B, blah, 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 blah," Burks' personality was to say, "All right, I'm going to show you I'm not an MF and B." Or Chris Douglas Roberts' personality, the same thing. But, like, Earl Barron, he would shrink away from that. And so I do think John, more than most coaches, needs players who can respond to the way that he coaches. And I don't think this group, to back up Jeff's point, I don't think this group responded to the way he coaches at all.
Okay, we don't have to spend, you know, too much time. I'm sure everyone listening wanting to hear tournament stuff is like, shut up about Kentucky. But it's Kentucky.
Well, this will be it.
This is relevant. This is it. We're done until the off season with
UK
stuff.
But hey, let me say this. I actually want to get you guys' opinion on this. Let's say, and I'm not saying they will, but let's just, for the sake of the conversation, bring back Willie Cauley-Stein and Archie Goodwin. Just those two. With the recruiting class.
I think it'd be Cauley-Stein and Poitras and not Goodwin. That's my guess.
Okay, if it's Cauley-Stein and Poitras and their recruiting class, what do you do with them?
Go ahead.
What do you do with who?
Where do you rank them, he's asking?
Where do you rank them?
Preseason.
Well, they getting Wiggins or they getting Randall? We got to wait.
Let's say they get Randall, they don't get Wiggins.
How are they not number one in the country?
Well, you don't know who else is coming back either. I mean, listen, Duke has Jabari Parker, Rashid Suleiman, Quinn Cook. They've got Rodney Hood eligible next year.
That's strong. Duke is strong. Duke is strong no matter what.
And they got Kay leading them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Listen, I would just say this. I would be leery of putting them preseason number one because this year.
Screwed it up.
Okay, because of this year, we'll see. We're going to have this conversation on a podcast in like May, so we'll just put that off and not worry about it. But I do want, Goodman, can I get 30 seconds from you on Andy Toole over at Bobby Moe? He's obviously a rising star in the coaching profession, but can we give listeners an idea, like, is this going to be a situation now? You beat Kentucky no matter what he does after this. Is he going to be up for a serious upgrade as early as this offseason, or might this be something 1 or 2 years down the road?
You know, I've known Andy Toole for a long time. And
oh, I've known Andy Toole for a long time.
Well, I have.
Is he one of the brothers who was driving you around?
Okay.
Andy Toole is not a brother. You need to watch Robert Morris. Anyway, Andy Toole.
So it's me, Andy Toole, and four brothers.
Andy Toole is absolutely, to me, one of the real terrific young coaches in the game. He's smart. He does remind me a little bit of Brad Stevens.
I know. That's inevitable, though. That comparison is going to get old real quick, but it is inevitable and right in a certain way.
He's a good-looking kid. He's got that kind of same demeanor as Brad. He's smart. He's articulate. And this win against Kentucky, honestly, will do him more good than if he had gotten in the NCAA tournament and lost in the first round.
Of course.
I agree with that 100%. Like,
of course, yeah.
Tonight, I mean, that's – like, seriously, okay, so how about this? So I had to do the leadoff show tonight, right? We get a rundown every afternoon of six segments,
and there was nothing in there at all about Kentucky. About because it's an NIT game. Who cares? And so I went to the producer at halftime of the Kentucky game, and I said, listen, let's just – if Kentucky loses, that's going to be a big story. Should we include that somewhere? And he said, I don't know. You know, it's an NIT, whatever. Ultimately, it became a story in the first segment of the show because it was by far one of the biggest stories. Not only – it was easily the biggest story in college basketball tonight, but one of the biggest stories in sports tonight, Kentucky losing at Robert Morris. And when you are a part of one of the biggest stories in sports on a single night, then you're going to get attention the way that he's getting tonight.
I don't know what he can get, though. That's the question is right now. Rutgers didn't open. Seton Hall didn't open. So I'm not sure what he gets right now that's good enough. I mean, listen, Sienna should be handing him the job today. I don't know if he'd take it.
Right.
But, like, that's one. If I'm Sienna, I'm offering him that job.
Why not Northwestern? I know they want Collins.
Chris Collins is going to get that job most likely.
Okay, so that's like an all but assured but done thing. Okay, just, you know, I just thought, you know, maybe he could make the leap to Northwestern. I don't know if he would do it or not, but if it didn't go to Collins, I would say, you know, maybe he should give that a go. We'll see. Anyway, we'll move on. Get to the tournament here real quick. Middle Tennessee State snuck it up, and now people are ticked because they got in. Now this is actually starting to annoy me because we had a nice little period here on Selection Sunday and afterward where we really didn't talk about it too much. And now that Middle Tennessee State put up a stinker against St. Mary's, I had that one wrong. I actually thought Middle Tennessee State would win that and beat Memphis, but now I got Memphis over the Gaels. Now it's all like all this hindsight crap about why Middle Tennessee State was in.
But and St. Mary's was also a mid-major who hadn't really beaten
anybody. Right. One's got to win, one's got to lose.
Exactly. It's stupid. Listen, do I think Middle Tennessee State had a great case to get in? No, I don't. But I think they were the fun pick that only had a couple shots and at least got one against Ole Miss, where all those SEC teams, and we just saw, by the way, Kentucky lose to Robert Morris, they had numerous chances, didn't take advantage. So you know what? Go with the mid-majors in this case because they're better for the NCAA tournament than having Tennessee or Alabama.
Let me say this. Middle Tennessee was awful tonight, right? And it's disappointing because – it's disappointing, A, because I like Kermit Davis, and that team's good. That team's good. They just
did
not
know they're good.
They didn't play well tonight. And so now the very easy thing for people to do is to look at them and say they should have never been in the tournament. And because that's what's happening, and I guess it's fair. But I would say this. Just as VCU going to the Final Four, you know, a couple years ago gave people an opportunity to say, you were stupid to suggest that they might not should have been in. Because, no, you weren't. It was a very reasonable opinion on Selection Sunday to say that VCU shouldn't have been in. Just like it was a very reasonable opinion to say that MTSU should have been in this year. What you have to understand when you're talking about at-large bids to the NCAA tournament is the same thing I talk about when it comes to college basketball rankings. Jeff and I get together every Sunday, and we look at what happened up until that point. And anything that happens after that literally has nothing to do with what we were talking about yesterday. And so that Middle Tennessee sucked tonight, and they did, has nothing to do with whether their resume was NCAA tournament worthy on Selection Sunday, which I think it was.
It's a tough thing to kind of for people to accept, but performance in the tournament does not refute or validate seeding.
So NC State goes to the Sweet 16 like last year. Does that mean that they should have been seeded in the top four? No, that's not what it means at all. And so, I'm going to run into this with Memphis fans if they happen to get into the Sweet 16, right? Because I've consistently, not as harshly and mean-spirited as Jeff has, but I've consistently said Memphis doesn't deserve to be ranked, you know, where they're ranked right now. And as I said 2 weeks ago, like, we can argue about Memphis forever, but they do not their seeding is not going to correlate with their national ranking, which it didn't, by the way, on Selection Sunday. But if Memphis somehow beats St. Mary's and then beats Michigan State and ends up in the Sweet 16, do you realize, that being my hometown, how much I'm going to catch from Memphis fans seeing who are going to say, see, we
you
told
you. You are? Wait, you think you're going to catch it?
like, my only blessing in this is that they're gonna, their attention is gonna be directed at you way more than me. Yeah. But the point will be, their point will be, Memphis is in the Sweet 16. That proves that they should have been ranked all year long.
It proves nothing. We're basing our rankings based on what they've done, and they hadn't beaten an at-large tournament team all year. And we agreed they really barely snuck in the top 25 because they hadn't proven anything.
But like sometimes fans, and I recognize fans, you know, they're biased by nature. I mean, you know, they call themselves, you know, Tiger Blue Johnny, right? So like you obviously can't see things clearly. But when a team then wins and advances in the NCAA tournament to a point where they shouldn't have, their fan base, or at least where it, the seeds do not suggest that you should have, their fans tend to then say, see, you underrated our team all year long. Let me tell you this. When VCU went to the Final Four, they were not underrated all year long. Their body of work suggested they were a bubble team. And then they got hot at the right time.
Yes.
They hit a bunch of three-pointers, and they made it to the Final Four. And I wish that fans could grasp that, although I recognize almost all of them do not.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. And we, you know, when we get into these kind of things, it's a double-edged sword, March, and I love it for it, and I hate it for it. But regardless, it's a grand time nonetheless. We don't have to break down your Final Fours, but can you guys give who you picked in the Final Four and then who you have to win? Goodman, you can go ahead first.
I picked Louisville to win it all, as I did in the preseason, by the way. I did not pick Kentucky. I picked Louisville to win it all. I had Louisville as the number one team in the preseason.
Goodman, who did you pick to win it all?
I picked Louisville.
Okay.
And then I have them beating Mark Few Zags.
If you go back, like seriously, to November when in late October when Goodman and I were talking about this, I was like, I think Kentucky, and he was like, I don't know, man. I want to go with Louisville. And I said, why do you want to go with Louisville?
He said,
and this is a direct quote, because they got a lot of brothers.
Okay. Okay, so you got Louisville. Well played, Parrish. If I had a drum, snare drum, I would have played it.
I got the Zags because, honestly, the West region is weak, and I don't know who's going to beat them. I don't have faith in Ohio State. The one-man team of, offensive team of Deshaun Thomas. I don't have faith in New Mexico. I don't have faith in my alma mater, Arizona. So I'm going with the Zags there. And I'm going with Indiana. And then the only non-number one I went with was Florida, which, God, it was hard for me to go with Florida. I'm praying maybe they take Kenny Boynton out of the game. If, like, game's on the line, you know, Donovan, like, sends him in for, like, a bathroom break or something.
And you have Louisville over Indiana to win it, right?
I do.
Well, you know who has that exact same bracket and final and winner?
You have the same four?
No, I'm saying, do you know who has the same one?
Yeah, Nate Silver.
Correct. Yes, correct. Nate Silver has that exact same one.
Obviously, I have mine done. I mean, the guy cheats off me.
Okay, Gary, what is your final four and winner over who?
Let me first explain it this way. When you are in our position where your title, and I'm not calling myself this, but our titles, if you click on our names, or when you're introduced on a radio show, it says college basketball expert, right? All right. So that's what people call you, for better or worse, fair or unfair. And so your instincts are, if you're a college basketball insider and you watch this stuff year-round, are to pick the best team, right? It's nonsensical to take – you know, a 7 seed to go to the Final Four because you're like, I've watched this all year long. The team that's seeded 7 is there for a reason. The team that's seeded 1 is there for a reason. Let's take the 1s. If you do that, what happens is you release a bracket, which, by the way, you guys know, and I hope everybody understands. We do those in about 2 minutes.
I hate it.
Because they want
to. You don't have time to think.
You don't think about anything. We get Darren sends us an email that says, call me, I got to get your brackets up. So then we run through it. Like, we're just looking at it. We just run through it, and then we go, and then we're held accountable to that, right?
Yeah.
But I can tell you that on Selection Sunday I did that and then got back to doing what I was doing. Then I did radio shows on Monday, and they were like, so let's talk about your Elite Eight. Then I'm like, I don't have any idea. Why don't you tell me who I have in the Elite Eight, and then I'll talk about them. We don't put much thought into it at all. But here's what happens. If you go 1 seed, 1 seed, 1 seed, and 2 seed, here's what happens. Your bracket gets posted, and everybody goes, oh,
So the College Basketball Insider took 3 1s and a 2. I guess I could be a College Basketball Insider, right? So you get mocked for that. And then keep in mind, it's probably not going to come in that way. So you're going to look wrong anyway, right? So then if it comes in and you actually get your Final Four correct or even 3 out of 4 correct, here's what people say. Oh, wow, congratulations. You picked a bunch of the favorites to get there, and then they got there. Ooh, I could be a College Basketball Insider too. How do I get a job at CBS? Like, this happens nonstop. So what I tend to do is take 2 high seeds and then 2 question marks, understanding that I'm probably going to look stupid by the time this is over. But if it comes in, I can at least get credit for people thinking that I might have done something.
All right, so what? Go ahead. Get to the point. Who did you take?
Seriously, I asked him what his Final Four.
He set it up
with his 5-minute precursor about how the YouTube commenters and Twitter trolls of the world are getting to him. Who do you got, Parrish?
Well, I went through the bracket and I just found the team.
Spew it out already. Who did you take?
Brothers. I just tried to pick brothers. So I got Louisville. I got Indiana. I've got VCU. And I have, this is going to contradict my brother's statement. I got Wisconsin.
Oh, you took Ken Palm's Wisconsin Badgers.
No, they're my Wisconsin Badgers. Those are my Wisconsin Badgers.
That's gutsy. Both of those are gutsy. I think Wisconsin falls to the Landshark, Ole Miss and Marshall Henderson.
Well, guess what? I don't care what you think.
I know you don't care. So that's your Final Four. And then you got Louisville beating who?
Indiana, whatever.
Yeah, okay. I know you guys don't give a damn about my picks, but I'm going to share you my Final Four right now.
I've been waiting anxiously.
Because it's my damn podcast. So I changed my title winner on the flight. I actually emailed. I emailed. And I was like, can I change my pick because I don't want this.
Oh, that's illegal.
No, I asked. He's like, yeah, I'll put it up tomorrow. So I am. I don't know. It was a long flight. I'm on no sleep. So I'm going Gonzaga for the title. That's my new pick. I had Louisville, and part of it was because, guys, for 3 freaking months, it's college basketball has no favorite. Anyone can win this. 10 to 12 teams can win it. And then we release our brackets, and 9 of 10 experts on CBSSports.com have Louisville winning it all. And then Doyle has Ohio State. Like, I don't know what that pick is. Listen, Ohio State's a good team. Don't get me wrong, but like, I'm taking like 20 teams before Ohio State.
I'm going to change mine then.
All right, so who are you going with? Indiana?
Or the Gulf Coast. Who else?
Okay. So, anyways.
Infield. Have you seen Amanda Infield?
I know. She's a 1 seed. So I've got Gonzaga beating Miami with Louisville and Michigan, which is kind of my wild card into the Final Four. And so it goes. And then Goodman actually gets Michigan in Auburn Hills. And here is how the universe works. You know, 2 years ago, we have a nice little email chain about the top 100 players in college basketball. And a young man named Nathan Walters comes up in the chain. And we're not going to replay that whole history. But point is, I was right. Goodman was wrong. And now Goodman. Go ahead.
Norlander thought that Nate Walters was a brother. At that point.
Not a chance.
Yo, you had never seen him.
Stop. I had seen him.
Had not.
I had seen him. Had I seen extensive tape? No, but the empirical data did not lie. And so point is, now...
Brother, don't lie to me. You thought Nate Walters was a brother.
I thought Rodney Clark was a brother, okay? So,
Rodney Clark is the funniest thing to me, because if you threw that name out there, you've been like, yo, have you seen Rodney Clark? There's a 100% chance you'd think that's a brother.
I know. Anyway, the cruel twist of fate is, you know, I picked Salt Lake City. I was like, you know what? South Dakota State gets in. Maybe they get sent to the Great Salt Lake. And no. So Goodman ends up getting Walters, and they go up against Michigan. So I thought that was interesting. And now you get to see him up close, man. Let me tell you how I spent the day.
But besides spending part of the day,
I set up Goodman for this, and go ahead, Parrish.
Besides spending part of the day with Roger Lodge, former host of Blind Date, who was with me on leadoff, I spent the day talking to NBA scouts and general managers about your beloved Nate Walters.
Early second round? What are we thinking?
What do you mean early second round? No, he's going to lose in the first round. What are you talking about?
Where is he going to go in the draft, dumbass?
Oh, no. Listen, he's not going in the lottery no matter what.
No.
He's not going undrafted.
Breaking news.
No, but he's not going undrafted no matter what. But this is very important for him. The matchup against Trey Burke is important.
Right.
I'll sneak preview to my column. Here's what scouts want to know. K can he stay in front of another point guard in the NBA level?
All right, so there we go. Goodman, my apologies.
Stay in front.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. By the way, Goodman did a great podcast with Jason McIntyre, the big lead. You got a lot of chances to talk there, man. I was trying to set you up here, but, you know, Parrish is...
It's all right. Listen, I'm used to it by now. Parrish loves to hear himself talk. I appease him. We let him talk for a little while so he could feel good about himself.
No, let me say this. I actually listened to I never listened to Norlander's podcast.
Obviously.
But I did listen to McIntyre's podcast with you, and I thought you were terrific. I was really proud of you.
Agreed. He was great. And I have been tracking, by the way. So I've set Goodman up like 8 times on this podcast, and literally he gets maybe he gets 12 to 15 seconds in every time, and Parrish goes, "But let me tell you something. Listen,
he yells at me for interrupting. That's the best part.
By the way, Obama has released his final four. We don't know his picks, but
he
has Florida, IU, Louisville, and Ohio State. We don't know.
Leave cats. I can't believe Goodman lets Cats beat him every year on the Obama bracket.
Hey, listen, Cats.
I'm not taking that away from him.
Cats is on your ass, man. Get after it.
Listen, who was happier other than Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson? Who was happier that Obama got reelected than Andy Cats? Nobody.
Listen, Cats can get Obama and you can get Boeheim. That's just how the world's spinning right now. So,
hell yeah, it's great. So great consolation.
You should try to get a Mitt Romney bracket, Goodman.
I would have. In Massachusetts, I had the hookup.
Oh, that's your guy. That's your in-state guy.
I was all set. I tried to stuff the ballot. It didn't work.
Mm-mm. All right, let's wrap it up with a few little quick hits on the tournament. Aside from a game in your region, what is your must-see game for Thursday or Friday? While you guys look it over, mine personally is UCLA-Minnesota, which is actually the last game of the round of 64, tips off at about 10 o'clock on Friday night. One, because I think it's an interesting matchup, but two, you've got the dramatic backdrop of Hallen and Tubby Smith, and the loser of that could very easily be out of a job by Monday morning. So that's my pick. Goodman. I said Goodman. Goodman, what is your must-see game that you will not be seeing in person?
Ole Miss, Wisconsin.
Hmm.
Absolutely. It's all about Marshall Henderson for me. The further he goes, the better this tournament gets. And think about how the country latched on to, like, Jimmer and Steph Curry, and we love them. There'll be a segment of the population that loves Marshall Henderson, like – I know Gary and I do. I don't know if you do.
Oh, I do. No, I enjoy it.
And there'll be a segment that the older folks will hate him. I mean, imagine for a second, Marshall Henderson hits like the game-winning three in front of Bo Ryan and starts taunting Bo Ryan. Bo Ryan might punch him.
Bo Ryan flashes that familiar Bo Ryan face.
Bo Ryan almost punched Tracy Wolfson. If you don't think he'll punch Marshall Henderson, you're out of your mind.
I mean, think of the what could happen with this tournament if Marshall Henderson keeps going.
Oh, I know. It would be fantastic. Because the guy, he embraces this.
He's awesome.
He just embraces it totally, and we just don't often have a player like this that can score as much as he can. He's got the weird past, and the most random thing is, like, he's at Ole Miss, which maybe could only happen at Ole Miss because you don't get a player like this at Michigan. You don't get a player like Duke has lightning rods, but they don't have lightning rods like this. You know, he's
and a
very
coach like this who lets him be Marshall Henderson.
Right, and because Kennedy had to play for broke as it was. I mean, he had to get to the tournament to save his job. So, Gary, what's your must-see game that outside of Philly?
I'm with Goodman. It is Wisconsin Ole Miss, and it is because of Marshall Henderson. No, Marshall Henderson is never recruited to the reason he's at Ole Miss is because nobody cares about Ole Miss and because the Ole Miss coach was fighting for his job. So you take the talented guy with all the baggage. It's why on
a different level. He was kicked out of Utah. He was kicked out of Texas Tech. He was, you know,
he was in jail. He was in jail this past summer.
Listen, we don't have to bring up any of the negatives with Marshall Henderson. We're trying.
But here's what I love is that he wins the SEC title and then he mocks getting handcuffed and there's a policeman in the twit pick that's laughing with him.
Right, he's cracking up.
I love him so much.
Like, amazing.
Yeah. And listen, I get it. If you're a big fan of sportsmanship and you're a big fan of, role models, I don't care about any of that stuff. I just like to be entertained. And there is nobody no coach, no player, no team more entertaining than Marshall Henderson. And so I'm not optimistic that things are going to go well against Bo Ryan, but I hope they do, even though I pick Wisconsin to go to the Final Four, because I want Marshall Henderson around as long as possible. He is so much fun.
All right.
What's the best game, though? What's the best game other than that, other than the Marshall Henderson deal? To me, I think Marquette Davidson's a great round game.
I got Davidson winning that one.
Yeah, I do too. You know what? The funny part is, if you had said at the beginning of the year, before the season started, who's the better team out of those two, I bet you a lot of people, a lot of us would have said Davidson. They returned everybody. Yes. Marquette had nobody. You know, and then another one like that is, how about this one? Oklahoma State, Oregon. If you had said the seeds 6 weeks ago, who would be seeded what? You would have said Oregon was the 5, and maybe Oklahoma State would have been a 10 at that point.
Agreed. That's an intriguing one for sure. Now, what about your region specifically, Goodman? I'll go to you first. So here are Goodman's games, what he gets out there in the glorious landscape of Auburn Hills. He has VCU Akron, Akron without their starting point guard, who was trafficking marijuana. That's really an all-time story right there.
He's supposed to smoke marijuana. He's not supposed to traffic it.
So he gets that. He gets Michigan versus Walters, South Dakota State. He gets Memphis St. Mary's, and he gets Michigan State Valpo. So whether it's those four or what you want to guess will be what happening in the round of 32, what do you think will be your best game this weekend in person, Goodman?
Michigan BCU. I mean, that'll be a hell of a game. Imagine Trey Burke dealing with that VCU pressure. That'll be could be the best. I don't know. You guys tell me, is there a better round of 32 matchup than that?
VCU
against Trey Burke? That's terrific.
That's probably it.
Michigan State Memphis would be terrific. I could see the two best round of 32 games. I believe that.
Yeah. Personally, I think the best game that I will get. So I've got Gonzaga, Southern U, Pitt, Wichita State, Zona, Belmont, and New Mexico, Harvard. I got Belmont beating Arizona. I think that'll be a good game. But I think my best game is going to be Gonzaga against Pitt, with Gonzaga winning, but a good one. Pitt's got some decent bigs in there, and they're, by the way, I mean, Pitt's not an 8. That was a little bit of a misseeding there.
Yeah, that's a good point. They should have been higher.
So I think that's going to be, to me, that will be the close shave for Gonzaga that almost every Final Four team has to endure. So that's when they're going to get there. So that's my pick. Now, Parrish, you are in Philly, and so you get San Diego State, Oklahoma, Georgetown, Florida Gulf Coast, which, by the way, Florida Gulf Coast did beat Miami, for those listening, if the name kind of rings a faint bell. And by the way, yes, hot wife, we've kind of covered it. Also has Creighton, Cincinnati, and Duke, Albany. What do you think will be your best game, and are you able to answer this question without bringing up Andy Enfield's wife one more time?
No, I plan on watching the round of 64 with her. But Georgetown, San Diego State, or Georgetown, Oklahoma, that doesn't interest anybody, does it?
Not casual fans, no, absolutely not.
There's only one matchup in your region that would interest anybody.
It would be Creighton, Duke, and Doug McDermott going for 40 against Duke's white kids.
That's right.
That's where we're at.
That's the upset no one's talking about, by the way. That can happen, and no one is talking about
it. It's not going to happen.
That's it. Outside of a Creighton-Duke game where Doug McDermott goes wild, my pods are ridiculous outside of Amanda Enfield.
Well, that's a good consolation prize. Goodman, real quick though, you're saying Creighton over Duke can't happen. You would have said Lehigh over Duke can't happen. And I know that McCollum's a better pro than McDermott, but Creighton's a better offense than Lehigh. Is Duke that much better this year than last year? And I know the Kelly factor.
It's not even close. Their chemistry is so much better. They got Suleiman now. They defend better. Mason Plumlee's a completely different player. Yes, this Duke team is nothing, zero, like last year's Duke team. I think they go to the Sweet 16. I'm honestly thinking, because everybody picked Louisville.
Right.
I'm thinking of going Duke over Louisville to win it all.
You're leading me right to my next thing, Goodman. Why has no one taken Duke over Louisville if Duke is this good and they've been so good with Kelly, and no one's taken that? No one.
You know why? Because I picked Louisville to win it all from day one.
Oh, and you've been
brothers.
I didn't want to change, but yeah, I mean, listen, I think the winner of that Louisville Duke game wins it all. How's that? And I think Duke has a good shot to beat him. They beat him. I know they did it without Gorky Jang, but still, they did beat him. And if Ryan Kelly can get back on track, and it's not like he was brutal the last game or two, but, you know, they have all the pieces. This is a completely different Duke team. You can't even put them in the same breath as last year.
And yet,
before we get off, I know I'm going to cut it.
Let me agree with Goodman real quick. I'm with him.
Okay.
The winner of the Midwest region, whoever that is,
we'll cut down
into the national championship.
Go ahead, Goodman.
All right, last thing. I don't mean to take it over, but I know we're going long here. We're 53 minutes. This is a damn record because of Andy Enfield's wife. What is
and the brothers? Woo!
What is your guys' biggest like upset in the Sweet 16? What's the team you guys have in the Sweet 16 that nobody else really has?
I have no idea who I have in the Sweet 16. Let me look real quick.
All right, I know I have Davidson in the Sweet 16 because I have Bucknell beating Butler, and so I have I've got Bob McKillop, very good coach, and I think this team is good enough to do it. So that's my.
Great. You're racist in that little pod, by the way.
Stop it.
I'm going with Colorado to go to the Elite Eight.
Dinwiddie, right? All about Dinwiddie.
Josh Scott, Dinwiddie,
Roberson.
Pat Boyle's a hell of a coach. I think they're going to beat Miami.
Okay, I just looked at my bracket and I've been reminded. I picked San Diego State to get to the Sweet 16.
That's not really a big upset. I mean, it is. Actually, it is.
Yeah, I don't like San Diego State at all. I like them to beat Oklahoma, but I think Georgetown will win easily. But okay.
Whatever. I've also got VCU. Not only in the Final Four, I've got VCU in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you already said that.
Okay. All right,
it's now 1:40 in Auburn Hills, okay?
Oh, you're still on East Coast time? I thought you were on Central.
No, I think I am. I don't know. That's a great question.
It's 10:30 out here. I'm going to dinner and like to the hotel bar probably.
All right, I'm signing off from Salt Lake City. Guys, enjoy your first and second round, second and third rounds, whatever the hell we're calling them. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back with a Friday podcast. I should actually be doing it with Gottlieb, who is in Salt Lake City with me. So look forward to that. Subscribe in iTunes. Follow these guys on Twitter. I gave their handles earlier. This was an all-timer, fellas. Appreciate it so much. We'll catch up next week.
Later,
dig it.